This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Jesse Tapia helping us out on the ones and twos. We're rocking with you until noon, then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. Can't wait to talk to KC today. He's tweeting.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I just always find that when someone posts something online, I had this problem yesterday, because during the first half of the 49ers game, I said, this is the most predictable game ever. The 49ers are playing to not lose, and they're getting punked in Cleveland again. The first 30 minutes is squarely on the head coach, or something very close to that. And with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter, a bunch of people start like, wow, this aged horribly, da-da-da-da. It's like, well, no, I was assessing what I saw in the first half. The first half, they didn't play well. No matter how well they played in the second half, they were ass in the first half. Like, they just didn't, my issue was they had the fourth and four at the 40, at the Browns 40, and they punted up 7-0. And then the Browns went 90 yards, and they get the two-point conversion, and they go up 8-7. And then the 49ers with 39 seconds left have a third and 10, less than 39 seconds left. They go completion to Ricky Pearsall, completion to Juwan Jennings, big completion to George Kittle. They get in field goal range right before the half. They kick a field goal to go up 10-8. And somebody's like, why are you complaining? They're ahead. Like, man, there's so much. The point is, there's so much. There's nuance. You're just posting on Twitter like, hey, here's the basics of my thought.
Well, yeah, and like I can tweet out that, you know, a player hits back-to-back threes, and then at the end of the game, they go 2 of 10, and they're like, people, he had a horrible shooting game, and you said he hit back-to-back threes. Well, he did.
He did. That's the thing that happened.
He did. He hit those, and then he didn't hit anything else. What am I supposed to say?
You're responding to this thing from an hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
Keep up. But anyway, so I'm interested. I'm always interested because I'll see Kenny say things on Twitter, and then you get to talking about it and explaining. And I think he has some interesting thoughts on the Kings playing young players and should they play young players and et cetera, et cetera. We both feel like they should, and we'll dive into all of that. The handoff, can't wait, coming up in about 40 minutes right here on ESPN 1320. All right, the 49ers beat the Browns yesterday, 26-8, a game I thought they were going to lose, and as I just kind of explained with how I thought they played in the first half, I still thought at the end of halftime I thought they were going to lose. Did their win yesterday make you feel any different about them?
It did.
Like as some level, there's like playoff team, then there's like they can win a round, they might go to the conference championship game, they could go to the Super Bowl. Where do you land with them now?
Yeah, I look at them and like I think most of the teams in the NFC right now are beatable on any given Sunday. Mm-hmm. We saw that this weekend with the Rams. You know, the Bears are the team that's rolling right now, but Philadelphia takes steps back all the time. The Lions, who I think still are one of the better teams in the NFC, they've lost games that they shouldn't lose, and there's a good chance they won't make the playoffs. I'm watching a 49ers team that is developing some sort of like soul, some sort of mindset, and that's when you start to have something. You know, we talk about this all the time. Whether Taylor Jenkins is a good coach or not, I don't know, like an X's and O's guy. But his Memphis Grizzlies, you knew exactly who you were playing every single time you played them.
Yep.
And I'm starting to feel that Robert Saleh might have been the greatest offseason acquisition that any team has ever had. He has created the culture that Doug Christie is begging for in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And it's a next man up. We're going to fight. We're going to bite your ankles. We're going to punch you first. This mindset that you just don't find. And it doesn't matter what star level player goes down. Robert Saleh has another soldier ready to go right back in and mm-hmm. pick it up for him. And to me, it's amazing to see a team turn it around this quickly on the defensive side of the ball, but also just the war of attrition that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. And how they just keep finding some other dude.
Yeah.
I mean, you brought up the guy they brought up from the practice squad, that the linebacker.
Jalen Graham?
Yeah, Jalen Graham. Like, out of, you know, not part of anything. And then all of a sudden, hey, bro, you got to go.
Yeah, you're in. The Jalen Graham thing is so funny because we talked about this on my podcast, Candlestick Chronicles. But Jalen Graham was a player they drafted in the seventh round in 2023. This is a little sidebar. And I read in The Athletic, Scott McLuhan, who was the 49ers GM, who drafted Navarro Bowman, who drafted Patrick Willis, who helped kind of oversee mm-hmm. the foundations of what became the Jim Harbaugh 49ers. And he speaks with Matt Barrows after every draft and kind of gives his assessment of all these players. And Jalen Graham, he was like, this guy's a player. This guy's the one. He can rush the passer. He can do this, da-da-da-da. So that's just all in. And then Jalen Graham had a pretty good preseason. And you're going, man, that looks like an NFL player. Can't wait for Jalen Graham. Turns out Jalen Graham, not very good. But he got into the game yesterday, and I was like, it's time. Jalen Graham season. We are here. But two plays in a row, the Browns ran right at him, and he got wiped off the map. Offensive lineman gets on him, took him out of the play.
Tough world.
Tough
world. I'll say this, though. Like, we talk so much about the NFL trade deadline, and it was mm-hmm. coming up, and we're like, okay, are they just going to do these two small moves?
Mm-hmm.
And these two small moves were Cleveland Farrell and Keon White,
mm-hmm.
right? Was there one more?
No, they signed Farrell to the practice squad, and then they traded for Keon White.
All within 24 hours of each other.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, those two combined for 3 sacks yesterday.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Cleveland Farrell tied for the team lead in sacks now.
Oh, boy.
He's played 4 games!
4 games. But that's where, like, again, you take a player who's not performing or not given an opportunity somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
but when Robert Saleh seems to see something in somebody, he empowers them and they're taken off. And so I think it's really cool to watch because you didn't think that an offensive or a defensive coordinator could mean so much. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason it is. And, you know, even I know after the game, Kittle talked about Alfred Collins like a million times. Just like,
yeah, it's the second time he's done that.
Just like how incredibly impressive he is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that, you know, again, we're talking about a bunch of rookies. This season, for the 49ers, very specifically about developing young players on the defensive side of the ball, mm-hmm. and we're seeing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, there was some concern that some of these guys weren't going to make it, mm-hmm. that they weren't good enough to be these players. But, you know, Upton Stout continues to develop, and Curtis Robinson and D Winners, and like you just keep naming these guys that are stepping up and having an impact. And that's good.
I'm interested to see, because the NFL does do assistant coach of the year. I'm interested to see where Robert Saleh lands in that.
Yeah.
Because I think Kyle Shanahan probably has a case for coach of the year as well. He's got this 9-4 team with all of these injuries. Here's the other thing. The prevailing narrative around the 49ers going into the year, mm-hmm. was, oh my God, look at all of the talent they lost. Are the 49ers rebuilding? Look at all the players they let go. Talanoa Hufanga, Malik Collins, Dre Greenlaw, Leonard Floyd. Oh my goodness. Javon Hargrave. All these guys are just gone. What are they going to do? How could they possibly do it? That was the narrative going into the year. Then they lost Nick Bosa. They lost Fred Warner. Brandon Ayuk hasn't come back. Ricky Pearsall missed 6 games. Mac Jones had to start half a dozen games. Where else am I?
Pearsall's not even back now. I mean, he's out there, but he's just doing cardio.
Not been super productive. They've had all of these injury problems. I say George Kittle missed a bunch of games.
Yeah.
They've had all these injury problems, and yet they're sitting here at 9-4. To me, when I think coach of the year, I think coach who has had the biggest impact, and the 49ers still have a lot of good players, but I don't know that there are that many coaches in the league, if any, who would have this version of the 49ers at 9-4 right now.
Yeah, it's impressive.
Nick Wagner from ESPN pointed this out on the internet today. The 49ers are closer to the one seed than they are at being out of the playoffs right now. They are a half game back of the number one seed Bears, and they are 1.5 games up on the number 8 seed Lions,
yeah.
which is a weird sentence.
They're a half game out of the NFC West lead.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all right there. If I think Kyle Shanahan very much should be in the coach of the year mix. And if you want to say, well, man, what Mike Vrabel has done, turning around the New England Patriots, cool. Thumbs up. You got it. I would agree with that. But Kyle Shanahan's like 2 for me. As of right now, these things always change weirdly at the end of the year. If you go out and lose 3 or final 4, that obviously changes the calculus. But as of right now, I think Mike Vrabel is the only person ahead of Kyle Shanahan for coach of the year.
Okay.
Or at least should be.
I think there are other coaches that are, you know, have their teams in surprising situations. You know, like I think again, is it Shane Steichen?
Yeah.
For Indianapolis, like they have no business being 8-4. They're a team that, like, realistically, like, no one expected anything from. Mm. They're falling apart right now, so I'm gonna guess that they're not gonna be there. And then I'd also ask, like Vrabel is having a great season, but what's the difference between Vrabel and what Sean Payton's doing in Denver? I mean, both teams are 10-2.
Because the Broncos made the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
and this is where there's no specific criteria.
Yeah.
There's not a, well, this is the way everybody's going to vote differently. But for me, and this is the Sean Payton argument, is a little bit where the argument that Kyle Shanahan always runs up against. It's like, well, like, yeah, the team's supposed to be good, and they're good, and he's good, so.
Yeah. And that's why I think Ben Johnson's going to be in this conversation, mm-hmm. Leading the Bears to a 9-3 record. And they haven't lost in, it feels like, over 2 months.
Yeah.
They just keep plugging away. Just like really, really impressive. So I think it's interesting. I do think it's wide open. You know, I think there are a handful of coaches this year that have really got their team to a point that you didn't see coming. And so, you know, even like Seattle, like their head coach has done a tremendous job. They're 9-3 with a new quarterback.
Michael McDonald,
with all the switching that they've done to rebuild that team, you know, getting rid of DK Metcalf and Lockett and just kind of moving forward.
Kyle Shanahan isn't even mentioned in this article with BetMGM.
That's tough.
Mike Vrabel is the favorite at -250. Shane Steichen is +475. Ben Johnson in Chicago, the one seed Bears, currently at +1,000. They mention him. They mention Michael McDonald. No mention of the 9-4 49ers.
Yeah, I think you're just looking at a bunch of young coaches who are doing things with teams that you didn't expect anything from.
That's just so crazy.
The Niners 2 years ago were a contender, and then they had just a horrific season last year. But to see them bounce back and have all these injuries and still be right in it, it's just like, super impressive. It's fun to watch.
I just don't understand the logic of, wow, the 49ers lost so much talent, while the 49ers have had so many injuries, and also, like, they're a half game out of the first, the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, okay, well, yeah, obviously, they're the 49ers. They're supposed to be good. Like, what? No! They're not supposed to be good.
No.
Like, this team should not be 9-4.
Nope. It's tough.
I don't know. I was a Brian Daboll guy. Bad take. I was a Brian Daboll guy back in 2020. It was at 2022 he won the Coach of the Year. Guy's a Brian Daboll guy. He's like, yeah, man, he got Daniel Jones to the playoffs. Like, yeah, salute. Like, turning things around. Again, didn't age well.
Nope.
So I'm not like Kyle Shanahan should win it every year. I'm not, like, that's not where I'm at. If I didn't think Kyle Shanahan should be Coach of the Year, I wouldn't bring this up. But I just, you watch yesterday and you watch the Browns with Kevin Stefanski, who has been the Coach of the Year before, by the way, and you watch their special teams just be a nightmare, and you're watching Shador Sanders in his second start, and you're like, it's like, oof. Like, has the development been there from Kevin Stefanski and what they're doing offensively? Kevin Stefanski doesn't even call plays anymore. And then you watch Kyle Shanahan just kind of plugging away.
Mm-hmm.
If the 49ers are nothing else, and this is a Robert Sala conversation too, the 49ers are one of the best coach teams in the league.
Yeah.
Like, you just see it week in and week out. They just do a lot of stuff the right way, where even if they don't have the dudes, I don't think they have the dudes to be a Super Bowl contender. But man, I don't think they're going to get outcoached in a playoff game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code AUDIO.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. From roof repair to emergency plumbing and more, done well. So the next time you have a home project, leave it to the pros. Get started at Angie.com.
No, I totally agree. I like super impressed with the job they've done this year, holding this thing together while so many bad things happened.
Yeah.
And yeah, the schedule was light, but their schedule actually isn't nearly as bad, as easy as it looked initially.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's a lot of teams that have stepped up and actually like, you know, become very good, high quality teams that the 49ers have played.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that they've been tremendous. And like, look, that's why I think more of them, I think, hey, yeah, you get through the first, if somehow you can beat someone in the first round, then it's like all bets are off. Like every mm-hmm. single one of these NFC teams have stumbled and look beatable. And so like, why not the 49ers? That's kind of where I'm going at this point. Like you beat the Rams once, they, you know, trash you the second time,
mm-hmm.
but like the third time you play somebody, you never know. And I think they've got a shot.
All right. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. I have a NFL question for you that we will ask when we get back. But I also feel like a harsh reality setting in for the Kings, or maybe setting in for the Kings. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. Hi, Sports Talk on ESPN 1320 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch our local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Did that yesterday with the 49ers and Browns game. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Hey, who's the best team in the NFL right now?
Oof. I don't know.
It's weird. So we talk about 49ers, and we'll get to the Kings and the harsh reality setting in for the Kings in a moment. But when we were talking just now, and I said, did the 49ers win yesterday make you feel better about where they are? And for me, yeah. For me, it did. Their special teams continues to help them swing games, mm-hmm. which was the case yesterday, recovering a muffed punt. You got the big punt return from Sky Moore. Matt Gay was 2-for-2 on his field goals, 2-for-2 on extra points. Like they continue to win on the margins there. And then I thought Brock Purdy was really, really good bouncing back and played a very different game than the one he played against Carolina.
Yeah.
And you watch the 49ers and I go, I feel better about them. But what does that mean? Because the argument that we've had all year long on the handoff with D'Lo and Casey, which is coming up in about 20 minutes, the argument we've had all year long is just where are the 49ers in the hierarchy? We do the Tuesday tiers and we go, oh, well, they're tier three because they're not quite. But then you watch the Bears all year. They're the number one seed in the NFC.
Mm-hmm.
You watch the Bears all year. They've tried to lose games to the Vikings and the Bengals, and they probably should have lost to the Steelers. They probably should have lost to the Giants. Like, they've had all these games where it's just these miracle comebacks, and still, they got to 9-3. Salute. Like, that's where they've earned that. But when you look at the 49ers and Bears, do you go, the Bears are definitely better?
No.
I don't.
Yeah, I don't think so at all.
The Rams. I think the Rams are definitely better than the 49ers. But also, I thought the Rams were definitely better than Carolina, and Carolina got their ass yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
Bryce Young cooked yesterday after we watched Bryce Young on Monday night against whatever the hell this 49ers defense is and went, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Is he a, oh, what is this?
I know, because I was looking, I'm like, Denver's 10-2. I've got to look at and see what they've done on the season. Cause I was thinking they've got to be one of the best teams, right?
Denver has an argument to be the best team in the NFL. No doubt.
Yeah. So they started the season, they won a game, then they lost two and they haven't lost since.
Right. They won nine in a row.
They've won nine in a row, but some of these games, man, like again, you beat the Bengals and the Bengals were a mess when they beat them. They beat mm-hmm. Philadelphia. That's great.
A really good win against Philly.
Yeah, but then you barely hang on to beat the Jets 13-11. You barely hang on to beat the Giants 33-32.
Miracle comeback.
Yep. The Dallas Cowboys game, you thumped the Cowboys 44-24, but then you barely beat the Texans. You barely beat the Raiders 10-7.
On a Thursday night.
And then you barely beat the Chiefs 22-19. And then you barely beat the Commanders, who are trash, 27-26. So
they had a batted down pass in OT to win that one.
And how many? So how many 3-point games have they won? I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's a 7-point game. I mean, a 4-point game. So 6 of their wins are by 3 points or less in the, you know. So
they're 7-2 in 1-score games.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And again, like, so this is, and when I say best team in the NFL, this is, if you were picking one team right now, let me phrase it this way. If you're picking one team right now that you're like, I have $1,000 to bet, and I'm going to bet, I have to bet it on one team to win the Super Bowl, who are you confidently laying that money down on?
None. Last week, it might have been the Rams. It might have been the Rams last week, and you're like, okay, the Rams are looking really good.
Yeah.
But
it feels like every team, it felt like last year, the Eagles. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, the Eagles are rolling right now. The Eagles are going to be really hard to beat.
Yeah.
The Chiefs. Man, the Chiefs are rolling around. The Chiefs are going to be really hard to beat. And you've seen that in the past. There's always like that one team that by week 13, you feel really good about one team in the league or one or two teams in each conference.
Yeah.
And you just said it with Denver, 7-2 in 1-score games, and their defense is very good. Like, don't get it twisted. I know their defense is really good, and that might just be enough to help them win. Between Sean Payton and that defense, maybe that'll be enough to help them win in January. But I'm not confident in it. I'm not confident. The Ravens might be bad. The Chiefs might be mid.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills are, I don't, like, Josh Allen is a force of nature, unlike who can take over a game unlike any other player in the sport. But do you super trust the Bills?
No.
In a playoff game?
I don't think the Chiefs are going to make the playoffs.
Chiefs might miss the playoffs. The Lions might miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, it is such a strange year in the NFL, and I don't know if it's strange complimentary or strange derogatory, because parity is the goal. Every league loves parity.
Mm-hmm.
Every league wants every team to be 500. Like, that's what, if everybody could be, not literally wants, but that's like you want the distance between the best and the worst teams to be as small as possible.
Yeah.
And I think the NFL is accomplishing that, but I don't know if it's in a good way. Like, if you've created parity because there's too many games and not enough rostered players, so a bunch of guys are hurt, and it's just a war of attrition, and so you get all these teams that are really close because a bunch of them are missing some of their best players, I don't know that that's good. Like, I don't feel like this has been an awesome NFL season.
Yeah, I think the parity of the season is good. But like taking the Lions for example, they haven't had, at least not that I've seen, like the sheer volume of injuries that we're seeing from some of the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now they're down Laporta, they're down Amon-Ra St. Brown, but that just happened. But their running backs have been strong. Like, the fact that they're 7-5 is stunning to me. The fact that the Chiefs, they look like they're going to win every single one of these games and then they don't. And maybe that's because we're preconditioned to think that the Chiefs are always going to come back and beat you. But like the Chiefs, like win-loss record and games in 1-score games last season looks very similar to what Denver's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, it's like how many times did they win a game on a field goal in the end, or somebody missed a field goal and they won? That's what it kind of feels like for Denver this year. The Chiefs, man, I would still take them against any team in the AFC if they can make it, but they might not make it.
Yeah, man. I think I'd probably, in my scenario where I'm betting $1,000, I'm probably still betting it on the Rams.
Yeah.
Because that would have been my pick last week, and you don't want to super overcorrect on 1 week. But the Rams looked unbeatable. And they still are. Top 10 offense, top 10 defense. They look very, very good. But they looked nigh unbeatable. And then they go into Carolina, and Carolina hangs up 31 after putting up 9 on the 49ers the week before.
Yeah.
The 49ers that I think were at least one, maybe two tiers below the range. It's just weird. Weird year. Really weird year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm buying more and more into this idea that, like, maybe the 49ers just stumble their way into the NFC title game.
That would be weird.
I don't think they will. I wouldn't bet on it. I would bet, if I had $1,000 to bet on the 49ers' success this season, I think they make the wild card round and then they're out in the first round.
Okay.
Because I think they're going to have to go on the road to L.A., or they're going to have to go on the road to
Philadelphia or Philly Chicago.
Or Detroit or Chicago. Again, could they win? Could they beat Philly? Yeah, because Philly's offense is weird. Could they beat Chicago? Yeah, because we just talked about, like, I'm not totally sure how good Chicago is. Could they go on the road and beat the Rams? Like, yeah, we saw them do it super banged up earlier this season. Yeah, they could. I wouldn't bet on it, though. But I'm less certain on the idea that, like, there's no chance they're making any kind of run.
Yeah, I'm not convinced of that now. This week, like, pushed me to that side. Like, man, you have a grittiness to you. You have something different to you that's making me feel like the next man up mentality. They just keep overcoming the injuries. And I don't know how you continuously overcome such dramatic, like, gut-wrenching injuries, but they do. Yeah, it's
pretty good coach.
It's a system. It's a coach. It's a mentality that they have that I think is making me go, okay, I'm not gonna say no. They can't make it.
Just to drive this all home. The 49ers are 9-4. And in this stretch, these four games that started in week 11 against Arizona, so they get blown out by the Rams 42-26 in week 10.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had at Arizona, home Panthers, at Cleveland, bye week, home Titans. They were 6-4 going into this stretch. We said they need to go 4-0, minimum 3-1, but 4-0 to really feel good about making the playoffs. And that was before the Lions lost to Green Bay on Thanksgiving and dropped to 7-5.
Yep.
I think 10 wins probably gets it done. But if San Francisco comes out of the bye week and they take care of business against Tennessee at home, they go into a tough stretch at Indianapolis, home Chicago, home Seattle, where if you can get one of those, you are almost guaranteed to make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll probably know by week 15, by the end of week 15, exactly what you need in those three games. They have started playing their best football into mid-November and into December, which is a hallmark of the Kyle Shanahan 49ers.
Yep.
And this defense that I have been out on, that I have been like, they just don't have the horses, they just can't do it, has given up 39 points the last 3 weeks.
That's crazy.
Now, granted, the Browns stink.
They do.
But Arizona's offense? Not been bad with Jacoby Brissett. Carolina beat, they hung up 30 in overtime on the Falcons. They put up 9 against the 49ers and then put up 31 on the Rams. Just, I'm starting to come around. I'm starting to see the vision.
It's crazy. They literally are the opposite of the Sacramento Kings.
How so?
The Kings don't have a bunch of young guys who are trying to figure it out. They have a bunch of veteran guys who aren't figuring it out. And here you have the 49ers who, on the defensive side of the ball, nothing but young guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the entire group is just a bunch of, you know, a couple of years of experience. Some of them are rookies, like, and they're just going out there and playing together and figuring out ways to help each other every single step of the way. They're tackling well. They're doing all the basics, and they just keep plugging away and getting better. Yeah. And you know, by the end of the season, you know, this is what you're hoping, that they could reset the roster. And if nothing else, who cares about the playoffs? Who cares about anything else? You get done with this year and you know that the path forward looks good because you've developed like three or four of your draft picks and they've become something. We're already there. And these guys just continuously get better and better and better. And that's where I think, like, you separate yourself with the Kings, because the Kings just, like, they're a bunch of the old guard and they're just not very good together. And, like, the lack of chemistry is just a problem.
Perfect segue, because this reality might be setting in for me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I'm coming around in a good way on the 49ers, I might be doing whatever the opposite of that is for Sacramento. And I wonder, I don't know the answer to this. I'm asking out loud. I'm just asking questions.
Okay.
Maybe the Kings aren't as high on Nate Clifford and Maxime Reyneau and Keon Ellis as I am slash we are. Because I feel like if you're Doug Christie or the coaching staff or Scott Perry or the collective brain trust who makes these decisions,
mm-hmm.
you're 5-16. I feel like it would have been a while ago that you went, hey, Nate Clifford does X, Y, and Z things well. Here's how we're going to utilize him on a consistent basis. Keon Ellis does A, B, and C things well. Here's how we're going to utilize him on a consistent basis. We're going to figure out ways to manufacture minutes and roles for them. Maxime Reyneau, same deal. I don't know. There's still a lot of basketball left. But I wonder if part of the reason those guys aren't playing is because the Kings just don't believe in them. At least yet. Let me caveat. They don't believe in them yet. And so while we pound the table and we go, why aren't the young guys playing? Now's the time. Pull the trigger. Play the young guys. I wonder if they would say, well, we're afraid that in the development arc that if we play them, we're going to torpedo their confidence and they're never going to help at all.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, that's always going to be the way that you bring along young players in the NBA. I mean, Maxime Reyneau is a second-round pick.
Right.
Like, is he developing? Yeah, he's developing. Like, I'm enjoying watching him get better. He's getting stronger.
Yeah.
He's going out there and rebounding better. He understands that he wasn't good.
He looks less lost.
He does. And a lot less, he's kind of all over the place. Like, his head's flying, his hair's flying everywhere, his arms are all over the place. And slowly you're watching him refine himself. And that's just the game is slowing down for him. I think the game is slowing down for Nick Clifford as well, but I think Nick is still caught in this mindset of I'm surrounded by players who I watched growing up.
Sure.
And, you know, whether it's DeMar DeRozan or it's Zach LaVine or whoever it is, like he's struggling with that. Like, how do I step up and be that guy with these guys around me?
Mm-hmm.
I think with Reyneau, he doesn't care. And it does help him that he's looking around and it's Domantas Sabonis on the bench because he's hurt.
Right.
But then it's, Drew Eubanks.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, Max is a smart kid. He can look up Basketball Reference and know exactly who Drew Eubanks is as a player. It doesn't take much to know that number one, you're 7'1" and he's 6'9".
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you're playing 20 minutes some night and he's playing 13. Like, there was always going to be a handoff this season, at least in the way I looked at it coming into the year, where you're going to get to a certain point and Drew Eubanks would be phased out partially and Max Reyneau would step in. I thought Max would go play in the G League and maybe get 10 or 12 games there to build his confidence, get ready, and then you would have this transition of, the backup center position, which is only 12 minutes a game or whatever, would eventually go to Reyneau. But you never know when that's going to happen, whether it be December or whether it be January, whether you got to wait until after the trade deadline, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's like, okay, when Domas got hurt, it opened a door for you to just say, we have no other option but for you to go out there and play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this team, this is so bizarre to me. Like, Dario Saric, I don't know how tall he is. What's 6'10", 6'9"?
We'll call him 6'10".
Yeah, okay. But Dario Saric is not playing. So just take him and crumple him up and throw it in the corner, right? It's not going to happen. Same with Doug McDermott. But outside of, once Domas goes down, you have a 7'1" rookie, a 6'9" guy in Drew Eubanks, and a 6'8" Precious Achiuwa. Mm-hmm. You just went up against a 7'.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see?
Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. One in four students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
But three, dude, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
Like, there's nothing you can, and not just a 7'3" guy who is just a total stiff. We're talking about a full grown 7'3" can get to the basket, like can push his way into around the basket at any point because he's a gigantic human being. Mm-hmm. The Kings don't have anyone to defend that.
Nothing.
Do you think last night Zach Edey would have had a career night if Jonas Valanciunas was standing there?
No, I don't think so.
That's what they're up against. Mm-hmm. And that's where, like, again, you hear
if only people, they had Jonas Valanciunas on their team. That
yeah,
would,
I know.
Can you imagine?
You hear people ask for patience and stuff like that. And I know Kings fans have, like, run out of patience. But you're now, like, being asked again, hey, patience. And it's like, patience for what?
That's it.
Because you guys, like, the five-year plan is no plan at all type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at some point you have to arrive. And you can't arrive for 5 minutes and then, like, fall apart 2 seconds later.
It would be a lot easier to have patience if I'm watching 20 minutes a night of Nate Clifford. I would take 18 minutes a night.
Yeah, if you're getting Keon Ellis and you're getting Maxine Raynaud and
yes.
Keegan Murray and Neek and, like, whoever else guard-wise. That you,
sure.
Again, Precious Achiuwa is only 26 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and clearly can play. He's going out there. He's being physical. He's doing the things you're asking.
Yeah.
Like, if that's where you're going with this team, I think people will be a lot more accepting.
I totally agree.
Of what's happening here.
It'd be a lot more palatable to lose 8 out of 10. But it's like, hey, here's something to discuss with Nate Clifford. Here's something to discuss about Maxime Raynaud. Wow, Precious Achiuwa had 20 and 10 the other night. What a game. Should, like, that, people will have patience for that. I don't think people have patience for the guys who are playing right
watching
now.
Veterans turn the ball over repeatedly, yeah. Or veterans miss shots, or veterans just flat out don't yeah. pass the ball. Yeah. And you're like, what exactly is happening? And
pass again, the ball.
The one thing I'm going to point out is that you see with the young players exactly what Doug Christie is trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the veterans, and they're not doing that. And that's where it becomes, like, really, really frustrating for a coaching staff, but also, like, you can see what they want,
mm-hmm.
And then you can see this other group of players that refuse to buy in mm-hmm. on the court. And you can say, well, is that a coaching problem? Is it a player problem? It's like, well, it's probably a lot of both.
Yeah.
But it's also a lot of the fact that a lot of these players understand that they're not going to be here, so they don't really have to listen.
Yeah.
And that's just it.
Yeah.
They make big money, and they don't really have to do what you're asking.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Let's loop in D'Lo and KC into this conversation on the handoff next on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center. I'm Kyle Madsen. That's James Hamm. Jesse Tapia on the ones and twos. Damian Barley and Kenny Garaway in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I have the most important... I want to talk about the Kings, but I have a 49ers question that okay. I have been waiting to ask Kenny Garaway. I was going to text him about this, and I decided not to.
Is it about the 2025 team or like a obscure 2011?
Oh, no, this year's team. Okay. Oh, no, 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 okay. This year's team.
Just making sure.
This year's team.
Just need to decide how engaged I needed to be in this conversation.
Yeah, I want to talk to Kenny. You remember the Browns game in 2011 at Candlestick?
No.
Yeah, Colt
McCoy. Oh, yeah, it was cold that day. It rained.
Yeah.
And,
windy. Yes. Definitely windy.
Breaks off the... not 2011.
No, no, no. It didn't beat the breaks off. I think like 20-10 was the final. Something like that.
Buccaneers.
A little closer than it should have been. Man. Yeah, that's when Josh Morgan got hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's tough.
Where is this
Anyways.
Going?
All right. I have a very important question about the 2025 San Francisco 49ers to ask you, Kenny Caraway.
All right.
Are the 2025 San Francisco 49ers tougher than a $2 steak?
Did you watch Sports Sunday last night?
I didn't.
They absolutely are tougher than a $2 steak. No, absolutely.
I didn't watch. I don't get CBS 13 where I live, so.
Okay, well, no, you can get...
But no one will run a saying into the ground more than my partner. The $2 steak in Memphis, Bleak.
And I'm not talking about Memphis.
And his new favorite, Jay-Z's, you know, what you eat don't make me.
Oh, that's been there. I be telling my son that all the time.
Well, all of these have been here for 5 years. I'm sure on the first D'Lo and Casey episode, you referenced Memphis Bleak and then a tough $2 steak that you likely had in Reno.
Ah, well.
Vegas.
Or Vegas.
Mm. Now, this was the old Vegas, though, not the new Vegas.
No.
Yeah, this was like...
There are no $2. The cheap steak is the $20 steak.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Are the 49ers tougher than a $20 steak in Vegas? In New Vegas?
Yeah.
2025 Vegas.
Absolutely. No, they're that. They're that.
Yeah, man.
I mean, everything that they've had to endure and go through throughout this season, injury-wise, mentally, emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And off the top of my head, there's one game where they weren't ready to play, and that was Houston.
Yeah.
They were just kind of in a malaise
mm-hmm.
for a little while. And then they even fought back to, like, get into that game. They weren't done throughout the entire game. They woke up, kind of mm-hmm. got back into it. We're down by 7 or 8, I think it was, in the fourth quarter. Just couldn't get all the way through. But the mental toughness that these guys have shown from week to week has been $2 steak worthy for sure. For sure.
I've been weighing heavy on my mind all day, so I had to find out.
Do you think they're tougher than a $2 steak?
Yeah, if nothing else, I think they're going to be hard to beat. Yeah. The way they bounced back in the second half and just didn't. I think this happens in basketball and in the NFL, certainly, just kind of across all sports. I think the idea of managing a game and just doing what it takes to win a game has gotten severely underrated.
Mm.
Where it's like, if the box score numbers don't pop, then like, yeah, but how good were you really?
Right.
And I think the Niners just, from Brock Purdy on down, just managed that game yesterday. Mm. Didn't turn the ball over, took advantage of mistakes, scored touchdowns when they needed touchdowns. They just kind of did everything. The Browns' offense, I think, early on had them a little bit flummoxed, but they ran out of screens to run. And that was just kind of it. Mm-hmm. I thought the 49ers managed a weird game in a really tough spot that I thought they were going to lose. Mm-hmm. I thought they managed it really well. I think it was a really well-coached team, and I think that... specifically, Brock Purdy, I thought, played really well yesterday. In a tough spot.
What you just said before that, but mm-hmm. what you just said is, I think, essentially what I've been saying for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm starting to come around. Saying, yeah.
But you said it differently.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the same thing, but you said it differently, and it works.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're unbeatable. Doesn't mean that the Rams or the Eagles shouldn't be favored or anything like that. But it feels like to beat the Niners, no Trent Dilfer here, to beat the Niners, you're going to have to beat the Niners.
To win games, you have to win the game.
No, that's pretty Trent Dilfer. Lose the game. Like, I don't know.
You're going to you're gonna have to beat them. They're not going to give it to you.
It's Trent Dilfer, and
you're
I'm not talking Memphis.
You're going to have to go beat.
Very good. Nailed it.
Where was he at? Where was he coaching at that he got fired? Wasn't it?
He was coaching at a high school. Wasn't
Birmingham,
it
UAB?
Was it in Tennessee?
UAB?
Oh, was he at a college?
UAB too. He was at UAB, but then he went to high school, too.
Oh, he got fired from there also.
Yeah.
Trent Dilfer, thumbs down as a coach. Wow. Not a good coach.
Major thumbs down.
He's like, you can't beat the hell out of players anymore? What's wrong with this?
No, he got
a society.
He got a clip in high school, on a high school team where he was just going crazy. But it feels like now they could give it to you with turnovers and stuff like that. But you're going to have to beat them.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, like, maybe not your A-plus game, but you got to come with it to beat the 49ers. And hey, I'll take my chances with that.
Yeah, man. We were talking about this earlier. If I had to pick if I had $1,000 and I had to bet it on one team to win the Super Bowl, like, I don't know who I'm betting it on. I don't think I feel good about it no matter what. But if I'm doing that in round one, I'm just not picking whoever the 49ers are playing, whether they have to go on the road to L.A. or Philly or Chicago or Detroit or wherever they would have to go. Mm-hmm. I'm just not betting against them.
Yeah.
Because maybe they don't make the NFC title game, but if you told me, yeah, they messed around and they went on the road and won a wild card game, sure.
Yeah.
Man.
Look, Al, they might not even be playing round one. What you talking about? What you talking
closer
about?
Closer to the one seed than they are to being out of the playoffs.
They might not even be playing round one. What you
that
talking
Panthers
about?
Win changed everything.
Yeah, yeah, that was wild.
That Panthers win opened the entire conference back up.
That's the second part of this. Like, the 49ers playing as well as they did against Cleveland is way more ass than I thought they were. They are so bad.
Their offense is really bad. Their defense is.
Defense is awesome.
It's legit.
Defense more than anything, good. They're poorly coached.
Yes.
Yes.
Kevin
Stefanski's
gone.
Done. Yeah,
he sucks.
He's gone.
He's not even calling plays anymore.
Yeah, he's done.
Yeah, man. That's not a well coached team, mm-hmm. but yeah, they were so much worse than even I thought they were. Mm-hmm. So it's not the second part of it though, is that Rams loss.
Mm-hmm.
The Carolina Panthers beat Atlanta, who stinks, 30-27 in OT. They score 9 points against the 49ers, and then the following week hang up 31 on this Rams team that I thought might win out.
They forced Stafford into doing things he hadn't done all year.
Throw a pick six, through two interceptions in three plays.
28
that doubled his interception total.
Yeah, he had 28 touchdowns without a pick over 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. And then boom, 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 like fumble. Yeah,
crazy this year, stuff. This year more than any year, I'm a big believer in this. The quote unquote best team might not win, and when I think about the best team, I look at it from the premise of 7-game series.
Mm-hmm.
This team will win, but football ain't as. The best team can lose in a divisional round.
Yeah.
Because it's one game.
Yep.
And I still think the Rams are the best team. I think that was just a crazy game last night. It was one of them things. You know, they couldn't get away from the Panthers for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think they're the best team. But, yeah, they can lose in a divisional round. They could, like, all these dudes can lose.
It feels like
lose.
Every team has a glaring flaw. I don't think the Rams do. Like you said, it's just really clear the Rams can get got. But
their defense, their secondary is, if you can hold up and get into that secondary, I think that's their issue.
Yeah. Yeah. The Broncos, though, I don't trust Bo Nix in that offense.
Yep.
The Eagles. Anyone trust that?
Absolutely not.
They're just not dynamic. They haven't been all season long.
Yeah, I don't.
It's weird.
The Lions might not make the playoffs. The Chiefs might not make the playoffs. The Ravens might not make the playoffs. Like, it's just there's not a lot of teams that I look and I go, man, that like the Packers are not even sure about.
The Chiefs missing the playoffs is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Like,
go from making
you could have picked
the,
like a
year.
Lot of scenarios about them not winning the Super Bowl, not winning the, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Completely missing the playoffs is that's something.
Yeah.
You backed off of that. It doesn't you you can't celebrate a pick that you changed. Oh, no, I was wrong, man. That's my bad.
I didn't change.
Yes, you did.
I said I might be wrong.
You don't. You can't have it.
You were standing.
Said, it looks like I might be wrong.
You were standing on one side of the fence. A couple games happened, and you meandered over to the other side. Took a look what was going on.
My proclamation is the same. I said my proclamation might be wrong.
Then you don't get it.
Yeah, then that's not.
Yo,
no.
stand on business. You wouldn't stand on it. No, you did not. No, you did not. You've wavered on it like 10 times.
I didn't say the 49ers are going to lose to the Browns. Well, maybe they won't. Like, nah.
No.
They're going to lose.
No.
Hold
me out. What you said was the 49ers are going to lose to the Browns. And then halfway through, you're like, ugh, looks like I'll be wrong. You didn't change. You didn't say, no, 49ers, I had them winning. It was just what you said looked like it was going to be wrong. What you said is what you said, though.
Yeah, and I was wrong.
Just like what you said was you backed away from.
No, to your point.
Yeah.
It was proven to be wrong.
I don't want to get into semantics.
What you said, what I said is what I said.
Why were you mad on the internet today?
I wasn't mad at all. Actually, the only thing that perturbed me a little bit was just how dumb people are. That can be frustrating.
I'm not mad. People are dumb though.
No, man, because what I said.
Thanks everyone for listening.
What I said was one thing that just went somewhere else. It all stemmed from last night. I'm watching the game, and I'm actually at the game, and I was just watching in the fourth quarter. I said, "Yeah, Max doesn't look ready for crunch time."
Mm-hmm. Which makes sense.
That's all I said. In that sentence, did I say he doesn't need to be on the floor?
No.
Did I say he shouldn't be getting playing time?
No.
Did I say, hey, maybe Doug should not play the young guys?
No.
All I said was, man, Max, did I say he'll never be ready for crunch time?
No.
All I said was, I'm watching the game. I'm watching him struggle a little bit. He can't defend without fouling. All this, he's not ready for crunch time right now. Well, what about the $47 million vets? They don't look ready for crunch time. Matter of fact, what are you talking about?
Sure.
I literally just said, so he doesn't look ready for crunch time right now. And then, after all that last
very
night.
Very few young players are.
It's also very perfectly funny to me when someone tweets something and are shocked that it didn't go over the way the game's
going. Right, yeah.
Well, no, I don't know if there's a shock to it. It's just people are who they are. But it's also, I followed up the tweet after everything that happened last night. I followed it up saying, like, it does baffle me the thought process that people have that, if you play somebody more minutes, they will be the NBA player you think they can be. That's not how it always goes. Maybe they're just not good enough.
Okay, I get that.
And this I'm not saying that's who these guys are.
Sure, sure.
But just the thought process of, oh, if you play them and develop them, then they'll be exactly what you think they should be.
I don't think that's fair. Okay. I don't think that's a fair assessment of what people. I think it's more, hey, we don't know. We were talking about this today with like Nate Clifford. I could deal with the Kings being 5-16 if I'm getting 18 to 20 minutes a night of Nate Clifford. Maybe he's good, maybe he's not, but at least we're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
At least we're getting an opportunity to see it. At least he's getting opportunities to get reps and to foul out of some games and realize like, okay, this is what I can get away with, this is what I can't. It's the Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers always say, like, you get better by playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people are waiting for. Whether Nick Clifford is an all-star or all-NBA guy or a rotational guy or just not a good NBA player, whether it's Nick or Keon Ellis or Maxime Reyna or whoever, I think people just want to see him play.
And that's perfectly fine. But then you, once again, this is just, and I have, that's why I say I'm not mad. Like, it's whatever. It's Twitter. It's conversation back and forth. But then you have people like Soren, who I rock with Soren. I'm rocking with Soren.
In the chat.
Yes. He says, so the right way is don't play them at all. Who said that? Did I ever say that?
No.
So why is that even coming up?
But I think because if you're pushing back on people's frustrations about them not playing, you're inherently
I'm not even
saying
pushing
that
back
it's better
it.
To not play.
I'm not even pushing back on it. I'm pushing back on the idea that if you play them, they will for sure be the player that you think they should be.
That's, is that what people
that's
are
not how
so
things
can
work.
I play devil's advocate?
The devil doesn't need more advocates.
That's a good point.
Why the devil being Kenny's Twitter followers, I guess. Maybe their point was Kyle's in that we're not saying they're going to be these high stakes NBA players, these all NBAs, these all stars. We just want to know what they are, and yeah. We can't see what they are right now. And we know, because if it really boils down to, this is a bad basketball team, and it might be a bad basketball team no matter who you put out.
That's
there.
It.
We know Zach is not a part of our future. We know DeMar is not a part of our future. You could kind of go on from there. Maybe we just, we're bad with them. Maybe we just be bad with Matt. Yeah, Max is cringy sometimes. Like, it's tough, but I want to see him play. Like, we knew James was, you and I, Casey and I, we got probably a little too much Kool-Aid after the summer league where it's like, yeah, put him out there. There were scenarios I really wanted to see Maxime Reyneau in. Then we started seeing him in the league, and it was like, ah, aha.
Like, ooh, boy.
Maybe James was right. Maybe we hold off on this. Neek is a little bit different. I feel like Neek genuinely just needs to play, and we'll figure out what he is. But I think the idea might be, we're bad either way. Let's just see what these young guys are. Maybe they're bad too.
Sure.
But we know this is bad.
Right.
This is.
Give me something different to look at.
Give me a different type of bad.
Can I, real quick? Mm-hmm. You're listening.
Almost.
Ooh, here
man.
We go. We'll fix that. We'll fix that in post.
That post vacation. Lord. Come on.
You are listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader, always free on the Odyssey app.
Ooh. So the.
Basketball.
Oh, we'll talk about that too. I was listening to the start of the show. We'll talk about that. But once again, and it doesn't. I tweeted it, so I'm. It's fine. Like, I'm okay. You guys see, I'm a big boy. I'm fine. But
I was worried. Touch and go.
Where in that did I say do not play him? Nowhere. So why are we even talking about? Yeah, but just play him. Sure. Maybe that's the difference too. I don't care if they play Zach LaVine 35 minutes a game. I don't care if they play Neek Clifford 35 minutes a game. Their fortunes aren't changing either way.
Okay, great.
But maybe people come to you because they think you do care.
Right. Because
like you covered a basketball team the way that you do, and it's like, well, KC is locked in.
So okay, that's really interesting what you just said. Because I think it represents a different portion of the fan base. I think the vocal fan base, you said that you don't care whether Zach LaVine plays 35 minutes or Neek Clifford plays 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is a large amount of people, I'm one of them, who does very much care.
Mm-hmm.
And it has nothing to do with wins or losses this year. It has to do with, hey, they're 5-16. I would like to watch something different.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see the Kings, whether it's in service of wins this year or next year or in 2027 or beyond. I know Zach LaVine's 35 minutes aren't in service of anything. Neek Clifford's might be.
Mm-hmm.
Maxime Reyneau's might be. Whether it's about this year, and I don't think it is for people. I think it's about 2026 and 2027.
Yeah, this year is sailed.
Yeah, like, and so why not put these young guys out there? Like, hey, let them play. Let them develop. And maybe something pops, maybe something doesn't. But at least they've done it.
Neek is what I'm about to say. I think Neek can be a part of. I'm just asking you guys' opinion. Nobody knows. I don't know.
Okay.
Nobody knows. But let's just say in a perfect world, the Kings turn into the Oklahoma City Thunder, right? Like that level of team.
Okay.
Do you guys believe Maxime Reyneau will be a part of that? Be playing 25 minutes a night?
Oh, it's possible. I don't know.
Well, I don't think we know.
But I'm just saying because I don't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Like, if they get to where they're...
I don't even know if he's a rotation player.
I just don't think that today.
But what are you basing that off of?
Just watching him play. He looks a little soft. He doesn't rebound enough. He's not a great defender.
Okay.
The one thing that he did great that really excited me, had me excited during the summer and watching him in college was shoot the ball. He's not shooting the ball well from distance right now, not being a stretch five. So today, based on what I've seen...
21 games into his career.
That's I'm don't know what he's going to be. I'm talking about, I'm just giving a feeling of how I feel about him today. That's it.
So I think the argument would be he doesn't get better at any of those things sitting on the bench.
He doesn't, but here's the concerning part. The lack of rebounding and the physicality is not something that just started when he got to the Sacramento Kings.
No doubt.
Those are the knocks on him.
No doubt.
He can improve. I hope he does improve that. Mm-hmm. I think he's a skilled player, and I'm not looking to write him off in the first 21 games of his career. I'm just literally asking a question. Like, you didn't have to, I'm not saying this is the same type of guy, but you didn't have to ask this with Paolo Banchero. Right? Like, you saw
him number one overall.
Yeah, you saw him, even SGA or any, like, mm-hmm. you saw him, it's like, nah, he got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I want to see, and that's where I think Neek is, like, a little bit on the in-between. Today, Maxime, right now, like, if the Kings ever turn this around, I don't know if he's going to be part of that turnaround. I haven't seen something that says, no, he's going to be a part of that.
Well, I'd also tell you, too, like, one of the problems that Max has, specifically Max, like, we can talk about Neek, but the Kings don't need a stretch five right now because they don't have Domas. They don't have Valanciunas.
They don't have a regular five.
Their backup center is 6 foot yeah. nine. They have to, Max has to go in the post and play a different brand of basketball than he was probably brought into the league to play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the question is, can you play alongside Domas? That would be like the pathway for him getting more minutes than 12 a game. But for right now, they have no choice but to run him up against a 7'6" Zach Edey, because the only other two dudes on the roster that are playing are 6'9" and 6'8", mm-hmm. and Precious and Drew Eubanks. So, like, I don't think we're getting to see who Max should be at the NBA level because of the structure of the actual team itself. Mm-hmm. Now, Neek, on the other hand, he just looks like a guy who needs to get comfortable, because when he does play more and he starts to get comfortable, we start seeing the offensive game come out. He won't do anything offensively unless he's been in the game for like 5 or 6 minutes. He's just not there yet where he's ready to go out and like jump on the court and be ready to shoot right then. And that's mm-hmm. something he's got to get through. But you can see it on the defensive end. He's been nothing short of like, he's absolutely phenomenal. The advanced numbers are saying that he is an elite defender. Now, whether that's going to translate on 35 minutes a night or something, or whether he can ever get to that, he's going to have to show more. But I think what we're at with this point in the season is we have to stop looking at points and rebounds and maybe not rebounds, but points scored and field goal percentages with some of these players, because guys like Neek are impacting the game way more than the guys that are putting up points. He is. I mean, he's impacting the game in a totally different way. And it's the same thing with Keegan. Keegan is having the biggest impact on this team, and it doesn't matter whether he's scoring or not.
Nah, we can't do that. We said last week we're not doing that with Keegan.
I don't know. Like, 5 of 12 last night, but he had 5 steals and 3 blocks.
We're not doing that with him.
That can be your opinion, but...
I'm not doing that with
him. You can correct yourself
I'm not
there.
Doing that with him. Like,
yeah.
That's why I talk, like, for what we want him to be,
mm-hmm.
like, that's not good enough. Mm. It's not good enough. If we're talking about old Keegan... You know, like rookie year Keegan, yeah, it's a good game. He did his thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want him to be more than that,
he's been good enough.
I need more than that.
I'm typically with you on this, or generally in general with you on this. I'm willing, because he's okay. He's been better, a little more aggressive. You like to see it. All right. Not a good game last night. I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, Keegan stinks.
Oh, not at
like,
all.
Like, I don't think that his trajectory is now altered in some way because of last night.
No, and this is
he's 18-7 in the games that he's played.
This is me.
Been better.
This is me in mm-hmm. general. I don't go one way or the other on one game.
Mm-hmm.
Keegan had 26-15 the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't make me say I feel different about Keegan. Mm-hmm. Keegan had 11 or 13 last night.
12.
That didn't make me feel one way or another about Keegan.
Sure.
I need to see things over a sustained period of time. Maxime Raynaud had, what, 16, 19 the other night?
Yeah, but 13 of them came in the last minute and 10 seconds or something.
Yeah, but
it was something like, I think
the Deuce, 36 was
Deuce
crazy.
Said that to me. We were sitting courtside and he's like, yeah, I mean, Max did put up like I think it was 13 the last minute 30.
Yeah.
You're like,
But the whole point of it is, like, he had a good game there. He was spotty last night. I'm not changing how I feel about Maxime Randall. Sure. I need to see more. Like, I still like his potential.
But that's it. I need to see more. So let me see more. They're 5 and 16. You did. You said you hate Maxime Raynaud and think he shouldn't be playing. That's you said.
People listen to you. That's why you can't say
Nate Clifford.
That's my whole point.
Kobe Jones.
That's my whole point. I never said don't play him. I never said don't play him 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. Sure, play him 30 minutes. That's cool. Like, the Kings need, and then maybe this is my premise. People talk about big picture and all this other stuff. The Kings need so much more than Nate Clifford and Maxime Raynaud to get where they want to get. I'm not going to lose sleep over these two playing 30 minutes or only playing 15 minutes. They're damn near the Raiders. They are so far away. They need so much more than those two. Mm-hmm. I'm not, all right, cool. Like, there are some bigger issues, multiple bigger issues they need to get right before I worry about whether or not they got these two right. Mm. They got a second-year player on their bench that's just sitting there on their bench. They can't trade him. They can't play him. What are you going to do with that?
They didn't even play him in a blowout.
And they picked up his option.
What are you going to do with that? How are you going to rectify that situation? That weighs on my mind more than Maxime Raynaud. And when I watch him and he looks a little awkward in the crunch time, it's just simple. Oh, man, he looked like he's not ready.
Here's the other thing, too. Because this is there's the internet conversation and there's how people actually think. And on the internet, I was talking about this earlier with the 49ers in the first half and the assessment of their first half. Mm. And like everything on the internet is like so narrow cast to this very specific thing and this very specific conversation is taken out of context. I don't think there's anybody out there who is like, Nate Clifford and Maxime Raynaud minutes are the only thing I care about. I think it's a big thing at this point because they're 5 and 16. Mm. None of their lineups are working. And like James and I were talking about earlier, hey man, you're just at this point. You needed 20 games. We got it. They're not good. They're boring and they're uninteresting. At least Neek is like, all right, let's see what he's got. Maybe they remain boring and interesting, but at least they're doing something. Mm-hmm. Maxime Raynaud, maybe he's just not going to develop, but at least we've seen it now. At least they've done something. They've given me some reason to lock in and something to look forward to. Some potential silver lining to this year. Mm-hmm. But I don't think anybody's like, oh, if Maxime Raynaud doesn't play, this is a failed season.
No, but I'd also tell you that if they put him down in the G League, he's going to average like 25 and 10.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of want to see that. Like, you talk about playing games. Just mm-hmm. Like, I kind of want to see him in the G League.
Sure.
Like, I think to a certain degree, I think that might be a better way to develop him this year. Let him play.
Do you guys
down
remember
there.
Dylan Caldwell?
But they don't have. Here's the problem: they don't have another person to play.
Right.
Like you can't when you can't send a second round pick to the G League because you don't have a third center and your star center's out. And like, what are you supposed to do? Mm-hmm. Like, it's tough, man. This is brutal. Like, you can't even waive some of these guys. You have no roster space. You have no cap room. Like, it is what it is. You kind of got to play it out and hope that Max continues to get better. And maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. But I certainly think, like, everything he's learning right now, just, like, when you talk to him, he is so incredibly intelligent. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a basketball player or smart kid at Stanford that played basketball. And you're like, holy cow. I mean, he's super, super smart. Mm-hmm. And he's processing everything. But we have to give him like the regular runway here. He's got to take his lumps in his rookie season. Then he's got to hit the offseason and he's got to get stronger and he's got to get more physical. He knows that already. And he'll come back next season a better player than he is today. Is he going to be an NBA, like real NBA player? I don't know. But I at least see an outline of something that, you know, you have to at least investigate at this point.
For sure.
I agree.
For sure.
Is it time to trade Keon Ellis?
Might as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't.
If teams want him, like, why not?
Yeah, make the call. Like, every insider, every NBA reporter is saying, yeah, teams are confused. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Call him. I mean, I guess there's nothing to be confused about. Like, Doug's not playing him.
That's
call.
It.
Yeah, if it's that confusing, call. Like, I know, you know, make your best offer. Oh, what's it going to be? Problem with that is he makes $2 million. Like, the parameters make the trade, like, now we're talking picks. Like, we're not really talking players.
Yeah.
You know, what are we really talking a trade looking like? It's like Keon's going to wind up being involved in some other trade that's happening. Like, someone wants Keon Ellis. They have cap space, and it's like, well, you're going to take Zach LaVine, too. It's like Keon Ellis playing the role of, like, a first-round pick or something like that to take a contract off. And I wouldn't even do that for Zach. I'd do it for Domas, but I wouldn't do it for Zach LaVine. This team feels a way that perhaps other general managers don't, and certainly this fan base does not.
Yeah.
I don't know if the idea – I don't know. I had an extensive conversation with Matt George about this for his Locked On Kings podcast that's going to drop later today after our show, and it's just I don't know what you do at this point. If I'm Keon's representative, I'm not coming back here.
Hell no.
Unless there was a conversation had, which is what I thought before the season. I told Casey, I thought I'm confident they had a conversation. Hey, look, this is what we're trying to do. We don't have the cap space. You know, we're trying to remain as flexible as possible, but you're a part of our plans. Then the season started, and now it's like, oh, he's not a part of what they're doing. Like, he's not getting play. Like, he didn't even play bad last night, and he never got back in the game. And it's like, all right, I'm not coming back here.
Yeah,
I'm not. No matter what happens this offseason, I'm not signing in Sacramento.
Yeah, my sources too. Like, come February 9th, if he's still on the roster, the Kings intend to like pursue a contract extension with him.
That's fascinating.
Like, if he's still on the
roster, for what?
That's the question. Like, okay, is this so you can trade him?
Well,
I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen a situation like this.
I can tell you what it could be. They're firing Doug.
No.
That's what it could be, and we're going to put Keon Ellis with a different coach. And what? But see, the reason that math doesn't work for me is everything that we're told about Keon Ellis, everything that we've seen in glimpses of Keon Ellis, that's a Doug Christie player.
Mm-hmm. Seems like it.
So what?
Just in theory,
what isn't real? Because something's not real.
Yeah.
Like what? Our perception of him. His perception, their perception of him. I don't know what it is, but yeah, you guys can pursue. I don't know if I'm Keon's agent. I don't know if I'm encouraging him to take that, unless I know for a fact that dollar figure that Scott just put in front of us is not on the market.
Yeah.
So if money is what's important to you, here it is. But if that dollar figure, if I have even a hint that something near that dollar figure is on the market, I'm not signing here.
Yeah. No chance.
Yeah, it's weird. Surprised. All of it's weird.
Very, very strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think
we're running out of things to say about this. Like, it just becomes more and more confusing.
Yeah.
And what I was saying on Twitter, like I said, yeah, all right, everybody got something to say about Keon Ellis not playing, like cross the league.
Mm-hmm.
Make your best offer. Yeah. Whatever that best offer is, whatever his market, it could just be a I don't even know if these things exist. A conditional second rounder. That could be the market.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Make your best offer. I want to see what it is. Maybe if five or six teams are going after him, maybe one team says, man, we'll up that to 2 second rounders.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Or
sure.
Like, yeah,
A
little bidding war action. Mm-hmm. Make your best offer.
But is this, again,
how
is
much
this,
do you really love him?
But and this is my question. Are the Kings sitting here, and James, you might know this, are the Kings sitting here going, we're getting those calls. We'll do it if we're blown away by an offer. If some team offers us an unprotected first, then yeah, we'll do it. But we still view him as part of our future. He's not playing right now. And we got all these guards in front of him. He's just, can't get him on the court. It's really, really tough. So we're not accepting these offers because he's still part of the future. He's just not part of right now. And yes.
Damien? Thank you. Yes. Hi, longtime listener. You can get him on the court. You're choosing not to.
So let me ask you this.
That's the part I'm stuck on.
Which is why if you're a team calling, I don't understand why the Kings aren't like, yeah, here, sure.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So here's the other question.
Okay.
Is management telling Doug not to play him?
I can't. Because
that's what we're talking about.
My naive, perhaps naive line of thinking wants me to believe that the front office does not interfere with that.
I've been told very specifically that they brought in the players and Doug coaches players.
Because to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, or give me an example of where I'm wrong, that's the sign of a bad organization to me. If the front office is telling the coach who to play and who not to play.
As a coach.
That doesn't feel like a functioning organization to me.
So if
a properly functioning organization.
If that's the case, then we should just be talking about Doug Christie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not.
But, and that's why I proposed the thought there. The front office is just letting this go. They'll go with James's scenario that he just presented because they know they're firing Doug.
Hmm.
I mean, wasn't
and
that
since the, that Memphis blowout, I can't get that out of my head. Sorry.
I was just gonna say, wasn't that the case last time with Keon? Allegedly, is that was one of the miscommunications between Mike Brown and the front office and Monty.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
I have no idea though.
Monty that Mike did.
Monty and them wanted Keon going. To be playing, and Mike was playing him when he wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many things you hear. Like, I heard, like, ownership wanted Mason Jones playing, like, over day, Keon.
And at the end of the day, Mason Jones never played. Like, right. It was on Mike Brown. Right. Whatever was going on was Mike Brown's decision. Same right here. Whatever's going on, if we believe that organization is not telling him what to do, this is Doug Christie's decision.
Yeah, so if I guess that's right. So if the organization went to Keon and said, we got you, here's what we're doing. We're having this conversation. We're maintaining flexibility. We got you next summer. We got you.
Mm-hmm. But the question,
then he's not playing.
Yeah, those
two things are at odds with each other.
The question should be why. Like if it's Doug Christie's decision, like Casey just said, if it's Doug Christie's decision, why did Doug Christie make that decision? Mm-hmm. Why did Doug Christie make the same exact decision that Mike Brown made? Why did the two coaches make the decision to not play Keon Ellis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not smarter than any coach, much less two of them. So I would love to ask. I know Mike has volunteered information, some of it off the record, some of it on the record about why Keon, I don't know that Doug has ever volunteered that type of information, but I would love to ask both of them, what do you not see from him?
Mm-hmm.
Not in front of James, where it goes on the King's Beat and ESPN immediately. Mm-hmm. Hey, just help me so I know how to talk about Keon Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't he play? Like, what are his shortcomings?
Yeah.
Mike in New York.
I would love to know.
What is it about Keon that just doesn't compute?
Mm-hmm.
Well, even like what we've seen from him this season, I mean, he's a 42.8% shooter from three for his career. 43% shooter. And last night, the Kings shot 8 threes in the first half. They were 3 of 8 in the first half. You got a guy who plays defense on a team that doesn't play defense, and a guy who shoots threes on a team that doesn't have enough 3-point shooters, and he can't get on the court. So I don't know what the answer is, but I think one of the answers is you keep waiting for this moment where Zach LaVine looks like Zach LaVine or DeMar DeRozan saves the day, and you keep waiting for these moments and they show you that they might do it. And so you're like, oh, well, I got to go back to them because they're my stars. And then you just keep getting to an end of a game and looking at the box score and going, oh my gosh, I played the guy 38 minutes. Like what was I doing?
Yeah. A side note to what I was listening earlier today, today Insiders, my favorite show. And you guys were talking about the end of the game yesterday, and I turned an ISO ball, and I just went and watched.
Pass the ball.
I just went and watched all the shots taken, and they took 23 field goal attempts in that fourth quarter by my count, and I was very critical on how many dribbles did he take? I don't know. Very critical. Yeah. 14 of those were potential assists.
Man.
And there were 4 from DeMar DeRozan that were straight ISO. And he went 3 for 4 in those situations.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
You make the argument he should play an ISO ball the whole fourth quarter. The way
so this is, but I also said, so Damien, you were talking about this with Keon Ellis, and like you'd love to sit down with a coach and be like, take me through why Keon Ellis doesn't play. Let's turn on the tape and you take me through this. I said the exact same thing about, because Malik Monk is the one who brought up like, hey, the ball just at the end of games, ball gets sticky and we can't have that.
Mm-hmm.
And then when asked to follow up, how do you fix that? He said,
pass the ball.
And so that's where that comes from. So I would love to, they've had games with 32 assists this year.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to know on a game-to-game basis, is it just missing shots? Is it how defenses are playing? I would just, I don't know. I don't know enough X's and O's. I would love to know, like, all right, Malik, what made you say that? And maybe he's saying that off the top of the head, and once he gets into film, he'll go, never mind, it wasn't that bad.
And Malik, my guy, I think he took two or three of those non-assisted shots in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
By my
count. Said that too.
Yeah.
He might have thought it's the only chance I'm going to get the ball.
He said part of it was on me.
I didn't, in watching that game, I didn't think there was any difference in how they played to get back into the game, offensively at least, in the end of the third quarter, as opposed to how they played at the end of the game. They just kind of missed shots. We talked about this after the Minnesota game, and it was like, oh, man, they passed the ball, and they trusted. It was the same stuff, whether they were passing more than we expected or they were doing the ISO. Like, it's what they do at the end of all these games. They hit the shots at that game. I think
– yeah, maybe they're just bad.
Well, look, one of the things that I would turn the attention to is, what is the offense supposed to be? Because –
pass the ball.
These guys are passing the ball to a certain degree. Like on those shot attempts, and Will Z could tell me, 14 potential assists in those 23 shot attempts, where four of those other shot attempts were ISO ball, and he went 3-for-4 in those situations. Like, they are having potential assists. It's not just dribble, one-on-one every time, but are they put in the right positions to have easier shots?
Right.
You know, or easier plays where they're creating for others. Mm-hmm. And that's something I don't know. I don't know if they're being told something and they're going against what they're being told.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they're doing what they're being told offensively and it's just not a good game plan. I don't know. These are the things that's going on. But last night, like I said, I just went and looked at all the shot attempts. 14 of them were potential assists. They were 8 of 23, I think, in that fourth quarter.
Yeah.
They just missed shots.
In like 5 minutes without scoring.
Man, maybe that's just what it comes down to.
After the end of the third quarter, the 17-3 at the end of that third, like everything is in their favor, and then stops.
Tough.
Sure is. D'Lo and KC are next. That's James Hamilton comments, and shout out to Jesse Tapia helping us out. He'll, of course, be on with D'Lo and KC. James and I are back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Till then, drink water, be nice to people. See you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code audio.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.